بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Okay, alhamdulillah, another session with Mizan Live on the rulings of Ahkam. I welcome the brothers and sisters that are tuning in or will be tuning in as we go on. In these sessions, as we've said again and again, what we're doing is we are covering the rulings of the month of Ramadan, fasting in the holy month of Ramadan, trying to answer as many questions as we can of the brothers and sisters, and trying to cover as much area as we can when it comes to the rulings of the fast. Through the Mizan Institute, of course, and inshallah the brothers and sisters will stay tuned for more information on this institute, which looks to address the needs of some of the brothers and sisters out there who are looking for deeper knowledge, deeper Islamic education, and so on, through courses, through live programs, through Q&As, through weekly programs, and so on and so forth. Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Shuja. Inshallah, everyone's well. Inshallah, the fasting is going well. Inshallah, you have more energy than I do these days. When you're really busy and you're fasting, it takes a lot out of you. So, inshallah, you guys keep all of us that are working in this field in your du'as, and you're in my du'as as well, because your jobs are no harder than our jobs either. Okay, so we yesterday Sheikh Mahdi had an awesome session. I say awesome because he covered things that usually are not covered. Even I don't know some of those things that he covered. It takes a lot of work. The discussion of musafir, or the traveler, and fasting, that's hard stuff. I did cover some general rulings there, but all in all, it's a hard topic. As he's going to go deeper and deeper and get more specific, it's going to get harder. But these are things that people ask about a lot, so I think they are very, very beneficial. Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Amir. So, inshallah, you guys follow those sessions on the traveler and the ahkam of those traveling. Inshallah, next session, if he gets a chance, he's going to be covering some really important stuff, like those who travel for work, frequent travelers, university students, people who travel a lot, I don't know, just for medical reasons. They have to get medical treatment elsewhere and they have to come and go a lot. So different cases and scenarios of how the fast will be broken or will not be broken in these different scenarios. Inshallah, keep tuning in for that. I think he's going to start covering that stuff tomorrow. I was following yesterday and I really liked all the questions that were being asked and the involvement of the brothers and sisters. All right, what I covered in my last session, we went on with the conditions of the fast being wajib or valid. Sanity, we talked about it, although that's not really an issue. You know, sanity, we all know that an insane person doesn't have a wajib fast. But some people ask, you know, do we have to make up for their fast that they missed? If my brother, if my son, if my father is ill now, is very old, and they're not thinking right anymore, you know, they've slowed down a lot, Alzheimer's, you know, etc., do I have to make up the fast for them? This question comes up. The answer is no, it's not even wajib on a person who's not completely sane, so that anyone will have to make it up for them. We talked about going unconscious in the fast. We got into more serious adult related issues, such as haiz and nifas, birth control pills. We talked about all these things, managing and controlling your menstruation period for sisters, if that's okay or not. We said that was okay with pills. And then we moved on into not entering the day in the state of either janaba, hayd, or nifas. In the state of those, meaning that a ghusl is wajib due to one of those three, but one hasn't done ghusl yet. Right? So entering the day in a state of that, not becoming junub in the day by nocturnal emission, they call it. You know, you sleep and then you have seminal discharge, and so you become junub. That doesn't break your fast. I stressed on the wording last time. The wording is entering the day. And letting fajr time arrive while you are in a state of janabah or hayd or nifas. So a sister, for example, who was ha'id the day before and then has to do ghusl at night for the next day because she is still in the state of hayd, and she doesn't perform the ghusl and fajr time arrives, that's going to be a problem. So all of this was covered last time. Talked about enemas. We talked about causing seminal discharge. These things, all of them, they will break fast. Enemas we talked about. I don't want to get into that too much because, as I said in that previous session, that doesn't come up often. I don't think people use that for healing purposes too much these days anyway, when they go to the doctor and stuff. But there were some details regarding that, like the pap smear or pop smear, I don't know how to pronounce it, examinations, or the insertion of other objects into the body, how those will not cause a problem and will not break the fast. So those are the things that we covered last time. There was one part left, if you remember, that I promised I was going to make a flowchart on. I did make a flowchart, but for myself, not like the other one that I made before that I showed on the screen last time about, you know, traveling. The reason why I didn't make one, although I said I might make one, is because of some technical issues, you know, the mirroring and so on. I couldn't figure that out properly, so I just thought, you know what, I'll just explain slowly so the brothers and sisters can follow. So there was one scenario that was left about entering the day in a state of janabah. First things first, I explained also that janabah happens through one of two ways, either through seminal discharge or through intercourse. Of course, there are some conditions for that intercourse. Not all forms of intercourse will cause janabah. A certain extent of it will cause it. As I said, and I referred the brothers and sisters to their Islamic law books. Usually the intercourse that happens is going to be a problem. So I'm just saying that. Anyway, so a person now is junub, either because, you know, they had nocturnal emission, they call it, or because husband and wife, for example, I don't know, 11 p.m. at night, they got intimate and they became junub. In both of these cases, a person who in their sleep became junub, or through when they were awake became junub the night before, sometimes it happens that they're too exhausted and tired because of the long day they've had to do ghusl. Or they're afraid if they do ghusl, then they just won't be able to fall asleep anymore. For whatever reason, they go to sleep and thinking and with the intention that, you know what, I'm going to wake up for ghusl, and I'll do the ghusl before fajr time while I'm having my my suhoor, my sehri. But then this person, once they sleep, or this couple, when they sleep and they wake up, they notice that, oh my god, fajr time has passed. In this case, what happens? Is your fast in order, or is it not in order? Alright, Brother Ali Abdi, wa alaikum as-salam. In your previous session, you mentioned about tayammum in place of ghusl before fajr, perhaps if due to lack of time. Can you clarify regarding the need to do ghusl after fajr when the fast has already been started? Okay, so in this case that I'm talking about right now, where a husband and wife, or someone who was asleep and became junub, sleeps and wakes up before fajr only to have enough time for tayammum and not ghusl, they just do tayammum instead of ghusl and their fast is in order, no problem at all. If you sleep past fajr time and then you wake up, there is no tayammum anymore, ghusl has to be done, right? The problem is, will it hurt your fast in a way that you're going to have to make that day up anyway or not? That's the question. So I hope you got your answer, Ali Abidi, that if a person, for whatever reason, like let's say forgets even to do ghusl, and then fajr time passes, tayammum won't be the way out anymore. Tayammum is for when there is a little bit of a window left before fajr. After fajr, tayammum is gone. Yeah. After fajr, tayammum is out the window, unless the person can't do ghusl because water is harmful for them. Or else, if you wake up after fajr, you can't say, oh my god, let me rush and just do tayammum. It's not going to work. I think that's what your question was. Yeah, you're saying, I mean to do ghusl after fajr, even if tayammum was done earlier. Oh, okay, excuse me. Will ghusl not be needed afterwards? Yes, ghusl will be needed afterwards for salat. Very good question. Thanks for bringing that up. If a person Does tayammum before fajr, due to lack of time for ghusl, they do tayammum so that they don't enter the day in a state of janaba. But once they enter the day, they have to do ghusl janaba for their salats. Excellent question, Ali Abdi. Excellent question. Hats off to you. Now, let's go back to what I was talking about, though. What was the scenario I was talking about? You'll excuse me if I'm speaking very slowly. Once again, I'm low on energy. I need some senzu beans or something, you know, to get me into my Super Saiyan mode, you know. But that can only have to happen after iftar. The scenario I brought up was if a person, Salam Amir Haider, good to see you too. If a person enters the state of janaba and sleeps before fajr time arrives, okay, this is the question. Sleeps and then boom, wakes up only to find that fajr time has passed. So they entered the day with what? In a state of janaba. But it wasn't their fault. They fell asleep. They thought they were going to wake up. Here, Ayatollah Sistani has three or four, you know, or five things to say. Ayatollah Khamenei, one or two things he says. There's a little bit of a difference of opinion here. I'll cover both. Let's start with Ayatollah Sistani first. Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Akbar. Welcome. Okay, what do we have here? Brothers and sisters, what they do is they split it up into first sleep, second sleep, third sleep onwards. What do we mean by that? Sometimes you wake up to find yourself in a state of janaba before fajr time, and you sleep. You sleep. When you sleep, that is your first sleep. So for example, if someone had nocturnal emission, that's such a scientific term, by the way. People don't use that. Some people use something else. If you had nocturnal emission at night and you wake up to that, and you know you're still like in your own world, you know, you wake up to it, but you're so exhausted and tired, you just fall back. You just say, you know what, I'll do ghusl in the morning and before fajr when I wake up for a suhoor, and you sleep again. That's considered your first sleep. If that sleep, that first sleep after waking up to janaba, continues all the way till fajr, these are the rulings according to Ayatollah Sistani. Either you knew you're going to wake up again before fajr, you were confident that you're going to wake up before fajr time and you're going to do ghusl. Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Ibrahim. You were confident you're going to wake up before fajr, one. And two, you had the intention to do ghusl when you wake up. Right? Sometimes you say, you know what, forget it. I'm just going to wake up and have my suhoor. I don't care about doing ghusl. You're just weird, man. That's not a normal case. if you're waking up anyway, you know your fast is batil by entering fajr time within the state of janaba. So what kind of, why are you going to be even waking up for suhoor to begin with? That's just weird. But if a person has the intention to wake up for ghusl and is confident that they're going to wake up, Ayatollah Sistani says, if they sleep and they just happen not to wake up, it just so happens that they don't wake up, their fast is in order. Okay, this is the only case, brothers and sisters, where Ayatollah Sistani says that if you sleep after janaba happens, either because you woke up from a sleep that you had nocturnal and seminal emission in it, or no, it was a husband and wife, for example, and they became junub, and then now what happens is they slept 11 p.m. they became junub, and after that they slept. That's their first sleep, right? They were confident that they're going to wake up, and two, they had the intention to do ghusl when they wake up. In this case, if they sleep and they don't wake up, then their fast is in order. I hope that's clear. Now let's move on to a few more cases where it's going to be a problem. So we have two variables here, brothers and sisters. How confident you are in waking up, how sure you are that you're going to wake up, one. Two, you have the intention to do ghusl. Now, what I'm going to say from here on usually isn't the case with the brothers and sisters out there. Okay? But I'm just going to cover it just for FYI. So we're talking about the first sleep after we wake up. If a person sleeps after they become junub or mujnib, both are used, mujnib and junub, meaning they're in the state of janaba. If a person sleeps after they become mujnib or junub, which are both the same thing, I'll just use junub since I've been using it, and there's a chance that they're going to wake up. They're not 100% sure they're going to wake up, but there's a chance that they're going to wake up in time, right? In this case, one. And two, if they are able to wake up, they have the intention to do ghusl, ghusl janaba. In this case, right, what happens is a little different. And so I'll repeat that. A person wakes up to janaba and is too tired, for example, to get up and actually do ghusl. So they say, you know what? Let me sleep. Inshallah, I'm going to wake up. And you know what inshallah means in this context, right? It means it might not happen. Right? People, when they say inshallah sometimes in a specific context, it means it's not going to happen. Anyway, inshallah, I'll wake up. Meaning, you know, there's a chance I'll wake up, but there's a chance I won't wake up. Okay? One. But they say, if I do wake up, I have the intention. I have the intention to do ghusl. And this person sleeps, but just doesn't wake up. The alarm sounds, but their sleep is so heavy that they don't wake up. What is the ruling on their fast here? What is their ruling on their fast here? Atala Sistani says, if you slept and you felt like there's a chance you won't wake up, one. And two, you had the intention though, if you wake up, to do ghusl. Or you just totally forgot about the fact that if I wake up, I have to do ghusl. In both of these cases, you will have to, obligatory precaution, ihtiyat wajib, finish that day staying away from those things that break the fast, but not with the intention of the fast of the month of Ramadan anymore. You just have to have the intention of qurbatan ilallah, for Allah's sake, I am staying away from all of the invalidators of the fast. That's all. And you have to make that day up after the month of Ramadan is over, once again with the intention of just staying away from the invalidators of the fast. Qurbatan ilallah, for Allah's sake. Not with the intention of this is qada and making up the month of Ramadan that I missed, the day of the month of Ramadan that I missed. So you know, you see there's a little, just don't sleep, people. Just don't sleep. If you're not sure you're going to wake up. You want me to say it like that? Or I'll say it like that. Because it gets complicated. The intention is like that, okay? It's a little complicated. You know why Ayatollah Sistani says this? He says this in his footnote in Risale Tuzul Masail al-Jami'. He explains this. He says, because I'm not sure if the fast that you have to do after the month of Ramadan is actually a qadha fast or is kind of like a let's call it a punishment fast. So you don't have the intention of qada fast, because I'm not sure if that's what it is, Ayatollah Sistani says. He hasn't been able to figure it out. So he says, whatever it is that you're doing, I know you have to stay away from the invalidators of the fast, and with the intention of qurbatan ilallah. That's it. All right. Thank you, Sister Kazma. Yeah, I'm smiling today, because I've had one program already today. I have two more after this. I won't be smiling at night. I'll tell you that. Excuse me. All right, but for now I'm smiling. Excuse me. All right, that's if a person isn't sure they're gonna wake up and has the intention to do ghusl if they do happen to wake up. Let's look at another scenario, or another two scenarios. All right. Sometimes a person knows for a fact they're not going to wake up. All right? Knows for a fact they're not going to wake up. So that's a third scenario. Scenario number one was they know they're going to wake up. Scenario number two was they're not sure. Maybe, maybe not. Number three, they know they're not going to wake up. They know they're not going to wake up. All right. Or they know they're going to wake up, but they have no intention to do ghusl at all. So I'll repeat. And as I said, this usually doesn't happen, brothers and sisters. This usually does not happen. Either the person knows they're not going to wake up, right? If they know they're not going to wake up, then that means they don't have an intention for doing ghusl anyway, right? Because they know they're not going to wake up. Or they know they're going to wake up, but they know that they have no intention to do ghusl, whatever the guy's problem is, right? I don't know what's wrong with this guy. He doesn't want to do ghusl no matter what. In these two cases, this person sleeps after becoming mujnib, and then their sleep extends all the way till after Fajr. What's the ruling on this person? Three things. One, complete that day the same way I said in the previous scenario. Complete that day staying away from the invalidators of the fast with the intention of qurbatan ilallah. One. Two, make that day up after the month of Ramadan. Not make that day up. Let me correct myself. After the month of Ramadan is over, to fast again and stay away from the invalidators with the intention of qurbatan ilallah also. Okay? Number three, kafara as well. So this is different than scenario number two. Kafara as well. So it gets even harder. But as I said, brothers and sisters, if a person is gonna be like this, that they're not gonna be they know they're not gonna wake up, or if they're waking up, they're not gonna have the intention of doing ghusl, this usually won't happen. And if it does, you wouldn't be tuning in to watch these ahkam anyway to begin with, right? A person who's that careless and heedless. So I'm just covering the ahkam. Those two cases where I said you have to continue the day fasting, qurbatan lillah, those are based on obligatory precaution according to Ayatollah Sistani. All right, let's move on. If there aren't any questions, there aren't any questions. I think it's pretty clear, and as I said, these aren't cases that really come up too much. Although the youth do contact me and they ask me, oh, I slept after, nocturnal emission, and then I woke up after Fajr, and so on and so forth. They do ask me that a lot. So I guess this is helpful to them. This, all of what I said so far, was regarding the first sleep after I wake up to janabah, or the first sleep after I became mujnib or junub with my spouse. Let's go and move on to the second and third sleep. So, a person, for example, wakes up to janabah and sleeps after that. Then wakes up, then sleeps again. That's the second sleep. And then that second sleep extends all the way till Fajr. Here, there isn't that much flexibility. All right? It doesn't matter what your intention was, whether or not you were sure or not. Salam ala Arash, Azizam, Khubi, I miss you too. Whether they had the intention or not to wake up, to do ghusl, not do ghusl, they knew 100% sure that they're going to wake up and 100% sure they had the intention to do ghusl. Still, because it's the second sleep, that's a problem. Same thing with a husband and wife that became junub through intercourse. And they slept. Let's say 11 p.m. they slept. That was their first sleep. They woke up at 2 a.m., or one of them woke up at 2 a.m. and slept again, knowing that they're going to wake up before Fajr with the intention to do ghusl. But then it just so happened that they didn't wake up in time. In these cases, Ayatollah Sistani says this falls under the same category as the other ones that I covered, where you have to continue fasting that day with the intention of qurban mutlaqa, qurbatan ilallah. And you have to make that day up, or not, excuse me, once again I have to correct myself, not make that day up, but fast for that day that this happened in, after the month of Ramadan is over, with the intention of qurbatan ilallah, for Allah, because he says, I'm not sure if this is qada fast, or if this is a retaliation slash punishment fast, right? Alright, so in these cases, so out of all of these cases, brothers and sisters, only one case, this person doesn't have to make up their fast after the month of Ramadan, or like, you know, continue their fast with the intention of qurbatan ilallah and all of that. That's only in the first sleep, a person wakes up to janaba, or a husband and wife become junub, and they sleep. All of these different individuals that I said, they sleep with the intention of waking up for Fajr, and they are confident 100% that they are going to wake up before Fajr for the ghusl. Only in that case, your fast is in order. Other than that, we have a problem. A question that comes up here is, hey, we covered all of the rulings of the first sleep, second sleep, and excuse me, second sleep onwards holds the same rulings. For example, third sleep, fourth sleep, he says, in Mas'ala 1004, he says, يُلْحَقْ النَّوْمُ الرَّابِعُ وَالْخَامِسْ بِالثَّالِثِ, that the fourth sleep, fifth sleep, all of these have the same ruling as the third sleep, and the third sleep has the same ruling as the second sleep. Okay, brothers and sisters? So I hope that's clear. A person will ask a good question here. That, okay, we covered all the rulings of first sleep, second sleep, third sleep, fourth sleep. If someone slept with the intention to wake up, etc., it just didn't happen. Question, is it permissible for a person to sleep or not? Right? Is it permissible even? Let's say someone, it can be the case that it's not permissible for them to sleep, but still their fast will be in order. We want to see, is it permissible to sleep or not? For a person who wakes up the first time and goes to sleep, wakes up a second time, are they even allowed to sleep or not? This is the question. The answer is in Mas'ala 1001. He says, يجوز النوم الأول والثاني مع كونه واثقا بالانتباه. You can sleep the first sleep or the second sleep only if you are sure you're going to wake up for ghusl before Fajr time arrives. والأحوط لزوما تركه إذا لم يكن واثقا به. But ihtiyat wajib, you cannot sleep if there's a chance you're not going to wake up in time. You see, it's interesting. Although we covered the rulings of whether or not that day it counts or not, whether that day has to be made up or not, that's one aspect of it. The other aspect, is it even permissible to sleep or not? So he's covering that here. It's beautiful, brothers and sisters. Fiqh is beautiful, although some people don't appreciate it, but it is beautiful. Yeah. So the third sleep for sure won't be allowed if someone's not sure they're going to wake up or not. Now the question is, will the third sleep be permissible if I'm 100% sure I'll wake up? He doesn't address it here. But the way he words it, he says, it is okay to do the first and second sleep when you're sure you'll wake up. Judging from this wording, the third sleep is not permissible either, even if you're 100% sure you're not going to wake up, right? So what usually happens with our youth, I mean, with them when they have a nocturnal emission and they wake up, is that they'll sleep the first time thinking that they're going to wake up, but the alarm sounds and they don't hear it and they don't wake up. In that case, I mean, once again, as I said, their fast is in order, not a problem. All right, we're done with this, with these rulings now, alhamdulillah. We're done with these rulings about janaba, about entering in a state of hayd, entering in a state of nifas. Let's move on. Enough of that. Oh, before I move on, let me cover Ayatollah Khamenei's rulings here as well regarding this. As I said, he's a little more straightforward here. For him, he says, if a person becomes junub And while they're awake, you know, like husband and wife, for example, the example that I gave you guys. Or after waking up to janabah, when they were sleeping and they experienced nocturnal emission. They wake up and they know that if they go to sleep before the Fajr Salat arrives, Fajr time arrives, they know they can't wake up. It is not permissible for them to sleep without doing ghusl. That's what he says straight up. And if they sleep and they don't do ghusl, and it happens that Fajr time arrives and they wake up after Fajr, without ghusl, they have to, their fast is void, and they're going to have to make that day up. Very simple, he says. This is even regarding the first sleep, brothers and sisters, you see? Yeah, even during the first sleep, if they know that they're not going to wake up. Now, what if they know they're going to wake up, or there's a chance they're going to wake up? He says, but if there's a chance that they will wake up before Fajr, and they have the intention to do ghusl as well when they wake up, but they just happen not to wake up, their fast is valid. So there's a little bit of a difference here between Ayatollah Sistani and Ayatollah Khamenei. Ayatollah Khamenei, he says, if there's a chance that they're going to wake up, there's a chance that they're going to wake up, and they have the intention to do ghusl when they do wake up, their fast is in order. Their fast is in order. This is all regarding the first sleep. Ayatollah Sistani said, if there's a chance you're going to wake up and you don't wake up, then you're going to have to fast that day with qurbatan ilallah intention, and do a fast outside of the month of Ramadan with qurbatan ilallah intention. So Ayatollah Sistani is more strict here. Ayatollah Khamenei says, even if there was a chance that you'll wake up after the first sleep, and you just so happened that you didn't wake up in time, you don't have to make that day up. But he says, if you sleep again, you wake up to janabah, you sleep, and you wake up again before Fajr time, and you sleep, you have to make that day up no matter what. Finished. No ifs, ands, or buts. No, is it like this or like that? No, none of that stuff. Even if you were 100% sure that you're going to wake up, you still got to make that day up if you didn't wake up in time. Salam Hassan, how's it going? Hassan Kanani recently graduated, alhamdulillah. We congratulate him on that. For nocturnal emission example, what is first sleep? As I said, first sleep means you wake up to it and you go back to sleep. That's the first sleep right there. He says this to Ayatollah Sistani, he says this. Mas'ala 1003. يُعَدُّ النَّوْمِ الَّذِي أُحْتُلِمَ فِيهِ أَوْ احْتَلَمَ فِيهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ النَّوْمِ الْأَوَّلِ. The sleep that you experienced nocturnal emission in counts as your first sleep. So you're in your sleep, and you find out that you became junub now. That counts, right? That's your first sleep. So if you continue to sleep after that, you know, you wake up for a minute or a split second or something, you wake up and you know that this has happened, right? That's your first sleep. If you sleep right after that, you've entered your second sleep. I hope it's clear, brothers and sisters. فَإِذَا أَفَاقَ ثُمَّ نَامْ كَانْ نَوْمُهُ بَعْدَ الْإِفَاقَ هُوَ النَّوْمِ الثَّانِي. He says, so in that sleep, when you experience this janaba, in that sleep, once you experience it, that means you felt it, that means you're awake now, you're in your senses. If you sleep after that, that you've entered your second sleep, he says. Is that clear, Hassan? I hope that's clear. If it's not clear, guys, please ask, because this has to be clarified, okay? If we're not clear on this, we might make a mistake. Alright, so that's Ayatollah Khamenei's ruling regarding this. As I said, it's more straightforward. Okay, let's move on now. Let's move on to the intention of the fast. As I told you guys last session, I didn't want to get into it, but the questions are there and people are asking. So I think it's a good idea to cover some of the rulings regarding the intention of the fast and some of the details that are there. Yes. Let's start. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The intention of the fast. Now, when we talk about the intention of the fast, I know we're talking about the month of Ramadan right now. But, thing is, we're going to be covering even more than that. Okay? It looks like Hassan, you got your answer. Okay, alhamdulillah. We're going to be covering more than that. Even the intention regarding fasts that don't have to do with the month of Ramadan. Hopefully, we can finish all of this and wrap it up today. Hopefully. Okay, Brother Akbar Rizvi. What if you don't wake up after NE, which doesn't stand for New England Patriots, it stands for nocturnal emission in this context, but realize in the morning? If you don't, very good question. Thank you, brother. Thank you. I thought it would be kind of clear, but it might not be clear for some people. That's why I made the point to say, in your sleep, you noticed that you became junub. You noticed means you came to your senses for a minute maybe, and then you went back to sleep again. If a person becomes junub, has experiences nocturnal emission at night, but doesn't even sense that, doesn't even feel that, doesn't even wake up to that for even a minute or so, or even less than a minute, and just continues sleeping and wakes up in the morning only to find that they have become junub, that is perfectly fine. There is nothing wrong with that. They have to just do ghusl for their prayers. They don't even have to get up and rush to the shower even. They can get up, I was going to say have breakfast, but you know, they're fasting, so they can't have breakfast. They can get up, scroll through their messages, probably 100 messages if you're me. When you wake up in the morning, 100 messages have come. Shaykh, what's the rule on this? What's the rule on that? Which is perfectly fine. Alhamdulillah, it's a way of serving the people, answering their fiqhi questions. So scroll, he or she can scroll through their messages, check some emails, make a phone call or two, watch some TV, then do ghusl when dhuhr time arrives, and they want to do salat, because the ghusl there is going to be a condition for their salat being valid. Okay, hope that answers your question. Very good question. All right. Niyyah, yeah. So we're talking about the intention and the niyyah. Mas'ala 1929 in Risale Tawzi al-Masail al-Jami' of Ayatollah Sistani. So I'm going to Farsi now, right? We're going to Farsi. The reason why I'm choosing this one, there's more details and it's nicer the way he's covered it here, I would say, versus Minhaj al-Salihin. So I want to go with this one. Mas'ala 1929, of course, says that you, when you fast, you have to have the intention of doing it for Allah's sake. You're doing it for Allah's sake. So if you do it for show off and so on, then that fast doesn't count. I don't need to elaborate there. Brothers and sisters, if you want to show off, don't show off with fast. Show off with, I don't know, go work out and show off with big biceps. I don't know. You don't want to show off with fast, because then you're going to have to make it up again. Mas'ala 1930. Everyone knows that ruling already, so let's just move on. 1930. Which is kind of, I mean, most of us know this also, but I'll cover it anyway. He says it's not necessary for a person to run their intention through their mind even before they start fasting. To think of it, I am fasting for Allah, qurbatan ilallah. No, that's not necessary either. Oh, look at that, Brother Ayman is online. Salam, Brother Ayman. It's been a while. Hope you're well. Yeah, so that's not even necessary to run the words across your mind. No, you don't have to do that. And this is a general rule. This is the general rule even for salat and any other form of worship and ibadah. If you're doing ghusl mayyit on a mayyit, these things, the niyyah, the intention is that you're doing it, I'm doing it for Allah. That's it. I mean, if someone was to ask you, hey, what are you doing? You know what you're doing. You know what you're doing equals niyyah. That's why this notion of, sometimes you're praying Salat al-Jama'ah, right? You're leading Salat. So I'm leading Salat al-Jama'ah, and we're in ruku', and someone arrives, and, from the back of the hall, calls out, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, so that they can catch up to the ruku' and enter the Jama'ah Salat, and get the rewards for that rak'ah, and it counts as a rak'ah for them. The thing is, this person says, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, and rushes and joins the lines. But then it takes them like 5 minutes to actually say their intention and then say Allahu Akbar to join the jama'ah. So you have to be in ruku' for so long. Why? Because this person wants to word and verbalize or whisper their niyyah, or at least cross the words in their mind of their intention. No, that's not necessary. The fact that you know which salat you're doing and why you're doing it, because it's for Allah, that's enough. That's your niyyah. That's your intention. So this person rushes, and you're waiting for them to say Allahu Akbar and join the jama'ah, but it's, you're like, what happened? Like, what happened? Did this guy faint or something? Because it's not knowing that, oh, this guy is making his intention. I am praying for rak'ah behind Imam so-and-so for Allah's sake. Qurbatan ila Allah, Allahu Akbar. Okay, man, we could have finished another rak'ah before you joined, and you could have joined the next rak'ah if that's how long your intention is going to take. Brothers and sisters, intention is not something, it's not rocket science. It's not rocket science. I know sometimes we might be of that of understanding that, you know, we have to cross the word through our mind. That's perfectly fine, brothers and sisters, but I want to let all of us know that that's not the case. Niyyah is much more simple than that. Yes, certain things I have to know that I'm doing before I do them for it to count, right? So for example, if a ghusl is wajib on me and I'm outside and it's raining, and then my head and my left, right side and my left side are washed under the rain, after I get all wet and I'm angry that I'm wet, I can't say, you know what, let's make the most of this situation that we're in, and, you know, let's have the intention of ghusl too. Too bad. You already got wet and got washed, and then you want to have the intention? No. So this is where intention really plays a major role in cases like these. Or if I'm like, you know, making up a salat, I have to know, like, for example, which salat I'm making up. Is it the Fajr salat I missed or the Dhuhr salat I missed? But once I know what I'm doing, it doesn't have to be verbalized. You know, it doesn't have to be. The words don't have to go through my mind even, he says. Okay. Mas'ala 1931. If a person has the before Salat al-Fajr and the time of Adhan comes, has the intention to fast, and then sleeps, and then wakes up after Maghrib. Think about it. You have the intention to fast like the next day. You fall asleep like 4 a.m. and Fajr time is 5 a.m. You fall asleep 4 a.m., your Salat becomes Qadha, your Dhuhr becomes Qadha, you wake up after Maghrib time. Good for you, really. That's an easy fast, by the way. That's an easy fast. But anyway, that's not something I'm encouraging people to do, of course. If that just so happens to be the case, he says the fast is in order. That fast is valid. So, he says, as a result, if a person's sleep encompasses the whole day, but they had the intention to fast before that, there's no problem in that. Okay, so those are general things he says. Now he moves on to the intention of the month of Ramadan, the fast of the holy month. Mas'al 1932 says, one can make the intention for the fast of the month of Ramadan every night before that day comes. So every day, every night, I don't know, before I sleep, or, you know, if I'm awake till morning, whatever, I have the intention that I'm going to be fasting the next day, that counts. That's good. You're good. What is the last time that I have? What is the last moment that I have? What is that borderline by which, before that, I have to make sure that I have the intention to fast? Mas'al 1933 says, the last moment that you can have intention to fast, based on obligatory precaution, is Fajr time itself. So not before Fajr time, Fajr time itself. You're like, okay, what do you mean by that, Ayatollah Sistani? He says, what I mean by this is that, according to obligatory precaution, that at the moment of Fajr time, this person is staying away from those things that invalidate a fast with the intention of fasting. So it's not even that you have to, he says, think of it beforehand, 10 seconds beforehand, 10 minutes beforehand, 3 hours beforehand, that, you know what, I'm going to be fasting the next day. He says just the fact that you, when Fajr time arrives and you're staying away from the invalidators at the moment of Fajr, with the intention that of course you're doing this because of Allah and because of the fast, he says that's enough too. But, and you shouldn't leave it for after this though, he says. So that's the last time you can have the niyyah. And of course this usually won't happen with our brothers and sisters. Usually, I'm going to say this right now. Usually, brothers and sisters, when we wake up for Sahri or for Suhoor, they call it, we're getting up for the purpose of the fast. That itself is enough for an intention, brothers and sisters. That itself is enough for an intention. Right? As I said before, intention is not some strange thing that we have to like do, an act that we have to do necessarily. No, not necessarily. It's just the fact that you know what you're doing. So when the brothers and sisters wake up for suhoor, that itself is a sign that I have an intention. Or else who wakes up 4:30 in the morning to have a meal, you know? Alright, let's move on. Brother Habib Rizvi, he says hello. Wa alayka hello. Or wa alayka salam. 1934. A person, okay, this is important now. A person who slept without the intention of month of Ramadan. For whatever reason, this person does not have the intention of fasting. And sleeps. And then wakes up. And now is like, oh my God, I didn't have the intention to fast, but today is the first of Ramadan, or today is the second of Ramadan, or whatever. Will that harm their fast or not? I'm in the month of Ramadan. I did not have the intention to fast till Fajr time. I was asleep, as a matter of fact. What do I do? He says the last moment for having the intention of fasting the month of Ramadan or one of the days of Ramadan, for a person who knows that it is the month of Ramadan and has the and wants to fast in that day, or is paying attention that you have to fast in the month of Ramadan. I'm mixing it up, sorry. I went to the next masala, to the previous masala. A person who wakes up without the intention of having the intention of fasting, right? Wakes up 10 a.m., he's like, oh my God, I forgot that today was the month of Ramadan and I didn't have any intention to fast today. Right? But I just remembered that it is the month of Ramadan. I didn't have the intention to fast. What happens to this person? If before Dhuhr time, he says, this person wakes up and has the intention to fast, they're good. They're good. They don't have to worry. If they wake up after Dhuhr time, so this person did not have the intention to fast, slept the night before, woke up at 2 p.m. after Dhuhr time, for example, and it says, ihtiyat wajib, obligatory precaution. This person has to stay away from all of the invalidators of the fast with the intention of qurbatan ilallah. That's it. And to make that day up later. So, the limit for such an individual is dhuhr time. Dhuhr time. For the fast of the month of Ramadan. We can't generalize and say this is something that holds for all fasts. We're talking about the month of Ramadan right now. With other fasts, there's more flexibility, okay? Brother or sister Shadi Ferrari, Assalamu alaikum. Can you just make intention at the start of the month of Ramadan to fast the whole month? We'll get to that, inshallah. Good question. Answer is yes, you can, okay? I'll just say the answer right now, because God knows. Maybe it is in the next masalas that we're going to get to, but what if just like, you know, lightning strikes and I just die on the spot and then I never get to answer that question? So there we have it. Yes, you can even do that, okay? You can have the intention for fasting the whole of the month of Ramadan when the month of Ramadan Allah arrives. And some of our maraja say it's better to do that as well, to have that intention as well, because the verse of the Quran says, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرِ فَلْيَصُمْهُ. Whoever sees the crescent of the month, should fast a month. So it's as if the whole month is a package itself, and you have, it's good to have the intention for the whole month. So if you have that, you're good. Brothers and sisters, as I said, it's not complicated the way some of us make it sometimes. It's not that complicated. Just the fact that Ramadan has arrived, we all know that we're going to be fasting. That is the intention. Finished. End of story. All right. Now, oh, sorry, Brother Shadi. You're a brother. I'm sorry. All right, let's move on to the next mas'ala. 1935. I thought Shadi... Well, Shadi means happiness, yeah. Okay. Well, in Farsi, it means happiness. I thought Shadi means... in Urdu, means wedding. So I thought maybe it's a sister's name. I'm sorry, man. Forgive me. Brother Akbar Rizvi, can someone do intention that as long as I live, will fast in Ramadan? Oh, Brother Akbar, that's a good question. That's a good question. No, because the fast has not become wajib yet on you, right? When the month of Ramadan arrives, it's become wajib. So then you have to have the intention for it. But if future months of Ramadan, they're not wajib on you yet, right? You haven't, those they haven't arrived yet. So you can't have the intention for those. What you will do though is that you know that you're going to be fasting in future Ramadans too. And when future Ramadans arrive, you know you're going to be fasting, so you're good still. See, once again, I'm trying to make it as least complicated as possible. Yeah, a person can have the intention for 30 years of the month of Ramadan in the sense that every year when it comes, you know you're going to be fasting. Yeah. But technically, from a fiqhi perspective, will my intention this month of Ramadan hold for the next 30 years if I know that I'm going to be fasting the next 30 years? I highly doubt it, because it hasn't even become wajib on you yet. Let the month of Ramadan arrive, and then once it becomes wajib on you, you have the intention for it. I hope that's clear. All right. Masala 1935. I'm going to skip because this never happens with us. A person who purposely doesn't make the intention for the month of Ramadan. Like, who would do that? Alright, so the Mas'ala says, if a person knows it's the month of Ramadan and purposely has the intention of a mustahab fast, or a fast that doesn't belong to the month of Ramadan, that fast will not count as month of Ramadan. For example, right now we are in the 8th or 9th day of the holy month. And a person purposely makes the intention of kafara fast. Like, what is wrong with you? Why are you doing such a thing? But let's just say somebody does that. If somebody does that, he says it won't even count for the month of Ramadan either, even. Unless a person, this is cool, unless a person, out of not knowing the mas'ala, not knowing the ruling, not knowing the rulings regarding the niyyah, you know, says, you know what, I want to do some kafara fasts in the month of Ramadan. And they do that. If they do that out of ignorance, or out of even forgetting that it's the month of Ramadan, and they start doing a kafara fast, he says it will count for their month of Ramadan. So they won't have to make that day up. I hope it's clear. Brother Ibrahim Abbas, if you have a chronic illness and may not have the strength to fast every day of Ramadan, can you decide in the morning after you wake up if you are feeling well enough to fast that day? Yes. Yes, we've covered this before. If you're not feeling well enough to fast to the extent that, you know, it's something that's not very tolerable and bearable for you, then you don't have to fast that day. Yeah. If from the moment Fajr time starts, you can't fast, then you can just not fast from there. But if you know you can hold the fast for 2 hours, and then you won't be able to bear it, then you have to keep it for 2 hours. Then break it whenever, you know, the situation gets tough on you. So I've covered this before in depth in previous sessions. Inshallah, you can refer to those. I think it was session 2, where we covered if it's unbearable, if it's illness, if it's hardship, and so on. I think that's where we covered it. We have put the the topics that have been covered in each session, we've put them at the top of each post. So brothers and sisters, if you want to go back, you know where to look for what you're looking for. Mas'ala. Brother Ayman Hadi, so I was happy that you tuned in today, but it shows that you haven't tuned in before. So me and Brother Ayman, let me tell everybody out there, we got this thing, right? So I'm going to be hard on him a little bit. We have this thing. We go back. Yeah. So we covered this before, Brother Ayman. What about those who intentionally travel to break their fast for reasons of comfort? We said that's perfectly fine. It might be makruh, or it will probably be makruh if you're traveling for no reason, just for comfort. Yeah, I remember that Ayatollah Sistani said it was makruh, but still it's allowed. There is no kafara necessary. There is no, but you have to make that day up after the month of Ramadan. Masal 1936. I am going to leave for later if I feel that it's necessary, because it's not something that really comes up. Mas'ala 1937, it says, a person doesn't have to specify in their intention that which day of the month of Ramadan it is that they are fasting, right? All that is necessary is that you know. All that might be necessary is that you know which, that you're fasting the month of Ramadan. That's what you know. That's it. To the extent, it's okay, to the extent that you, even if you specify the day, you say, I am, you know, you're thinking to yourself, all right, alhamdulillah, today is the 18th day of the month of Ramadan that I'm fasting. Turns out it's the 8th day of the month of Ramadan. You're just in a rush to finish it. Oh man. You're in a rush to finish it. That's why, like, for whatever reason, you thought 18, it's day 18, or 28 even, when it was day number 8. So, he says, even in this case, you had the intention of month of Ramadan, you were just wrong about the number, the day number. Right? He says, even this case is okay. Your fast is in order, your fast is valid. There's no problem in that. Okay, so, if you have any questions, ask them, because I'm about to end this. Let me cover this last mas'ala too, and then I'll wrap it up. So you guys ask your questions if you have any. This is a little long here. It says, if a person doesn't know or forgets that it is the month of Ramadan and remembers before Dhuhr time, if this person has stayed away from all the invalidators of the fast, or excuse me, if this person has done any of the invalidators, you know, had breakfast, that fast won't count. One. Two, ihtiyat wajib, they have to stay, refrain from all of the invalidators till Maghrib, and they have to make that day up after the month of Ramadan as well. If this person finds out that it's the month of Ramadan after Dhuhr time and has not done anything that breaks the fast, ihtiyat wajib, is that they have an intention of raja'an, I'm fasting. Inshallah, this counts as a fast and they fast, but they will have to make that day up after the month of Ramadan as well. But if they remember before Dhuhr time and they have not done something that invalidates the fast, they have the intention of fasting and they're good to go. So three scenarios. One, you remember before Dhuhr time, but you had an invalidator. Ihtiyat wajib, you had to continue fasting till Maghrib and make that day up. You remembered before Dhuhr time and you didn't have any invalidators. You have the intention of fasting now for the month of Ramadan and you're good. And you don't have to make that day up. If you remember after Dhuhr time, whether you had an invalidator or you didn't have an invalidator, he says, what you do is continue raja'an with the intention of fast if you didn't have an invalidator, but you still have to make that day up. I know there's a lot of details in this mas'ala. If you weren't able to follow, just go back and watch the recording again, this last part. Brother Shadi says, Shaykh, for the people who don't pray, but fast the month of Ramadan, do their fasts count? Their fasts count in the sense that they don't have to make those days up, yes. But yeah, they are missing out on a lot. Because one of the reasons for the fast is that so we you know, become more obedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not sin or disobey Him. But nonetheless, if a person doesn't pray, that is not an invalidator of the fast. Brothers and sisters, I want you to pay attention to this point. The invalidators of the fast were covered, mostly by Shaykh Mehdi, and I covered a few of them today and yesterday. Excuse me, last session of mine. If anything happens other than these, it's not an invalidator. So if someone lies while they're fasting, their fast is not broken because lying was not part of the invalidators, was not one of the invalidators. The only lying that was an invalidator was ascribing lies to Allah and His Prophet and so on, that the details you had before with Shaykh Mehdi. Will not praying break the fast? Well, not praying is not one of the invalidators mentioned in the books. So if it's not one of the invalidators mentioned in the books, then it's not an invalidator. Very simple. Will crying out loud, will getting angry, will beating somebody up, will praying, playing pranks on somebody, will it break my fast? Once again, since it wasn't one of the invalidators listed in the books, then it's not an invalidator, because if it was, it would be listed. Okay? So that's a general rule that you can apply whenever you're not sure. Does this break the fast or not? Will their fast count or not? If it's not in the list of invalidators, their fast will count. Will count meaning they don't have to make that day up, but you know, they are missing out on the whole point of the fast. Alright, Ali Abadi, I don't know why you changed your account, but you're asking me, despite Raja intention, do you make it up as a qada or just as a fast of qurbatan ilallah? This last Raja, the qada that we're talking about in this last mas'ala that I covered, mas'ala 1936, it's actual qada. Good question. It's actual qada. The only time that it's not qada and you just do it with the intention of qurbatan ilallah, I'm staying away from invalidators, was in the janabah. The janabah and staying in a state of janabah and the first sleep, second sleep, third sleep type of thing that we talked about in the beginning of our session today. That's only where it is. Other than that, whenever I say qada, it means qada. You just do it with the intention of qada and making up the missed fast. Oh, okay, your phone battery died. Okay. Alright, if there are any more questions, I'll take them. If not, we will move on, inshallah, leave. We're going to cover more intention in our next session. But the intention of fasting for fasts that don't have to do, that are not the fasts of the holy month, there's different types of those fasts, mustahab fasting, all of those, the intentions. Inshallah, we're going to go through those quickly, hopefully, next session. And we will probably cover some of the makruhat and etiquettes of the fast, what is better to stay away from. As I said before, I want to cover the makruhat. Why? Because some people think those are the wajibat of the fast, while they're not. Would the fast break if you are continuously bleeding? Sister Fatima asks. Well, if you're bleeding from your body, from like, you know, anywhere of your body, no, it doesn't break your fast. If you get so weak as a result of losing blood, then yeah, you have to break your fast to keep your blood sugar up and so on and not go dizzy. But if the bleeding is menstruation, we covered that before, menstruation will break the fast even if there's 2 minutes left till Maghrib time. The moment a lady becomes ha'iz, you know, ha'id, or experiences nifas blood, that is enough to break their fast right away, and they don't have to continue fasting. They can have whatever food they want. Fasting is not wajib on them anymore. Okay? A sister was asking once, or we got a question once, that, you know, if we are in our menstruation period, do we have to hide that from our family members, or like can we not eat in front of them, or can we eat in front of them at home? Because that way they'll know we're not fasting. They tell us no, don't let them know, and so on. That's not one of the Islamic rules that we have. That might be a more of a cultural thing, it seems. My spotter senses tell me that it's a cultural thing. All right. I thank you all very much for tuning in. Like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. If you feel that others can benefit from this stuff, share it. I thank all of you once again. I don't think there's anything else I need to say. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.